praise you. We celebrate you. Thank you for the power of your word. We love your word. And all the saints said, amen. Amen. I know you're excited about the word. We enjoyed Pastor Tony on podcast this week. He does a great job, doesn't he? And man, we love him. We're very blessed to have the leadership that we have. The Lord knows I need a lot of help, and he is blessed us with some great leadership, and I am so thankful. I really am, and I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful that you're here today. Amen. And we celebrate the Lord's goodness. Amen. All right, you know, I just want to share with you just for a couple of minutes before the message really begins, and those of you on podcast need to hear this. So, and I have to. Because I'm so focused on the faith and the word part, all right? Sometimes people think things I'm not saying, or they say things I'm not saying. And so I want to be sure and clarify a couple things. I'm not defending myself, I'm defending the word and our position of faith in the word, okay? And so let me clarify a couple of things, and I want to get right into the message because I've been so touched by the message, and I want to cover it. Let me clarify what I'm not saying when I preach, okay? Grace and faith does not mean you ignore exercise and healthy eating. You know, I kind of wrestled with this. I thought, there's no need. But you know what? My wife kind of confirmed that, you know, this needs to be covered. And so let me clarify some things because I don't want you to misrepresent the word. Amen. Grace and faith does not mean you ignore exercise, healthy eating, or medicine. Okay? The first priority, though, for a believer over exercise, healthy eating, and medicine should be faith and the word for your health. That's what believers do. That makes us different than the people of the world. Okay? It's the Jesus factor. It's the word factor. Proverbs says over and over, Proverbs says that his word is life to all of our flesh. Man, that just speaks real clearly. Now, there's no condemnation if you're sick. Yep. Or if you get sick. There's no condemnation.
That's right.
Okay? Matter of fact, Jesus compared it to livestock falling in a ditch.
Yeah.
Well, if your livestock falls in a ditch, you don't go chew out the livestock. The priority is stock out of the ditch.
Yeah.
And that's an opportunity for love.
There you go.
Okay? And so that's where we are. Let's believe for healing and health. We're more interested in your healing and health than how you got sick. You know, we live in a fallen world. Okay. And there's an enemy out there. Okay. Number two, grace and faith does not mean you ignore good stewardship financially. We have a class right now on Wednesday night because we believe in good stewardship financially. And the Bible actually gives a lot of wisdom for financial principles.
Amen.
And it's tied to the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom is the priority of everything.
Yep.
So our first priority in your finances should be faith and the word for your finances.
Amen.
Now there's no condemnation if you're in debt or you fall into debt. It's kind of like falling into the ditch. There's no condemnation. Okay? But our position of faith and grace should be this: let's believe for debt-free and financial freedom.
Amen.
We believe that's God's desire.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay? Paid the price for us to receive. Number three, grace and faith does not mean you ignore investing and loving in relationships. Did that come across? Did I explain that?
Yeah.
All right. In other words, we have a responsibility to sow love into relationships around us, even into the unlovely.
Yeah.
Now, you may or may not have people in your family that are responding to you in a loving way. We still have responsibility to sow love into them. I'll probably cover that next week in the sermon. So the first priority is faith, hope, love, and the Word of God for relationships to be restored and renewed. There's no condemnation if you're in conflict with loved ones. There's no condemnation. That happens. Okay? We're not going to condemn you if you're in conflict with loved ones. But what we all will encourage you to do because of grace and faith is that let's believe for restoration and healing of hearts.
Amen.
That's our part. We understand that other people have a will. And according to the Bible, some people choose to be rear ends. That's probably not the best word. The Proverbs uses the word fools. But that's what it means. Okay. There are some people just determined. Okay, and but it doesn't ignore our responsibility to sow love.
Amen.
Grace and faith does not mean you ignore responsibility to make right choices.
Yes.
Okay, first priority, grace and faith, is to seek ye first the kingdom of God. But there's no condemnation if you failed. There's no condemnation if you've sinned. We love you. That's what grace and faith is all about. He's a present help. There's no condemnation if you're addicted in any form. There's no condemnation. Okay? But let's believe for freedom and deliverance and restoration. That's where grace and faith is. That's what we major on. Okay, he paid the price for our forgiveness. Totally and completely, our healing, our provision, our deliverance, our restoration. He deserves what he paid for. That's why we preach what we do.
Amen.
All right, let's all say amen.
Amen.
And so I can get on with the series. All right, let's give God thanks. Now, if there's any didn't understand that, see one of the pastors. I've done the best I can on it. But they're very good about explaining things. Okay. Hey, this is Praise Season 2. And the reason we're doing a Season 2 is because praise is to be a lifestyle. It's important for us to practice and to remember and to encourage each other in praise and thanksgiving. You cannot go too far with this. Okay? You cannot praise too much. And so I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. I've already touched on this in the series, but I've got a little bit more to cover with you on it. And this will help you this week. This will help you this week if you capture this and practice this. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking away from all that will distract and look to Jesus. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who's the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it into maturity and perfection. And he, for the joy, this is an important principle, this explains what he did in practicing the first part of this verse. Okay? And we're to identify with Christ. We as believers, we're to identify with Christ. As a matter of fact, one of the descriptions for Christians early on was little Christ. Okay, Christ-like. And so we need to identify, he for the joy of obtaining the prize. And let me say that bringing glory to his Father was a prize. This brought glory to Father. And he also, part of the prize was you. Me and you. We're part of the prize. And he for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising, ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so, we're to go from distraction to Jesus. Now, for those of you on podcast, I'm picking up an item that has distractions that hit our life. And one of the distractions is heartbreak. And in this journey, your heart gets hurt, gets wounded. Okay? And so when we practice this scripture, which is very, very important to practice this scripture, when your heart gets hurt, it's vital for you to use your chooser and lean and trust in God and have confidence in God. And use your chooser, use your chooser to look away. Everybody say, look away. Look away from the heartbreak. Look away from what caused the heartbreak. Who caused the heartbreak? Or the offense, or the stumbling, or the disappointment. And so you look away, and then I've got a mirror here that has Jesus on it. You look away from heartbreak, and you look to Jesus. Because this will distract you from Jesus. Okay? I've also got sickness here. Sickness shows up. Now, I want to tell you, there's probably, you've heard me say, there's probably no greater test than pain, either pain of the heart or pain of the body. Great challenge. But this scripture says, this is Bible for you and me, 2019, says this, that very, very important for you to look away from the sickness, and look to Jesus. Everybody say, look away. I want to tell you, this is something that everybody can do. You can look away. All right? You see this? You see sickness? Everybody look away to Jesus right over here. All right? That's something you can do. It's vital. Hey, anxiety and fear shows up in our life. Mainly because the enemy is a liar. Okay? But let me tell you something. When anxiety and fear shows up in your life, this can distract you from Jesus. And so it's vital and important. Bible says, look away. Everybody, look away from anxiety. Look to Jesus. Don't focus here. Focus on Jesus. And the last one I've got on here is condemnation. Because that's one of the sneakiest one that shows up. Okay? And I'll tell you what. I know this is true because I minister to pastors. And pastors get caught in this too. Okay, pastors have family problems, all right? And so when I'm ministering to a pastor that has sinned or ministering to a pastor that has family problems, then one of the first things that hits a home run is for me to point out condemnation, all right? And so it's very, very important to look away, look away, look away, okay? Don't esteem this. Don't make this the major. Make Jesus the major. Look away from all that will distract, because this will distract you. Jesus is the leader of your faith. If you're distracted, you're not following the leader of faith. Okay? You're not following him. If you're distracted, you're not receiving from the source of your faith. Amen? You're not receiving from the source. And if you're distracted, if you're focused on the problem and not on Jesus, then you're not receiving from the finisher to bring you into the finish, the victory of your faith. So that's why it's so very, very important. Here's a little example that you will be aware of. At one time, probably a decade, 15 years ago, the most common distracted drivers that were dangerous on the highway were intoxicated drivers. And so everybody would practice being aware if you saw a vehicle crossing lines. And I can remember even people in other cars making signs, you know, and pointing ahead, you know, someone intoxicated, because they're very, very dangerous. They're distracted drivers because they're intoxicated. Nowadays, the most distracted drivers, even though we still have intoxicated drivers on the highway, watch out for them. Now the most common distraction in driving is intoxicated drivers. I may have invented that. Intoxicated drivers. Now, you know as well as I do, we've seen people going from line to line, crossing over, and you get up next to them and look over, and they're texting on their phone. Okay? intoxicated, distracted drivers cause a problem not just for themselves, but danger for others. I hope that speaks to you. Because one of the sneakiest things the enemy will practice in your life is to get your eyes off Jesus. To get you distracted from Jesus. Because if you're distracted from Jesus, you're not following the leader of your faith. If you're distracted from Jesus, you're not receiving from the source of your faith. If you're distracted from Jesus, you're not following the finisher into the victory of your faith. And the rest of that scripture explains how Jesus practiced this himself. And we need to identify, he for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising, ignoring the shame. In other words, Jesus practiced this divine kingdom principle. He looked away from the cross. He looked away from the pain. He looked away from the shame. And he looked to Father and he looked to you. You're the prize. And he did this. And he's showing us by example how we're to live. That you know what? When these problems show up, or whatever their name is, show up in your life, because they can be big or they can be small. I've been distracted in driving by a mosquito before. I actually had to pull over and do battle. Because he's aggravating the far out of me, distracting me. And I want to tell you, it can be big or small. But here's the principle. Paul explained it to us. We covered it in the series a couple of sermons ago. Where that Paul practiced this by doing this. He looked to the glory of enjoying the glory and the reward of Jesus. He looked to Jesus and he considered his problems, which were very, very great compared to ours. He announced that they were minor, small, and that they were temporary, and that they called him a light affliction because his major was the Lord. And he chose the reward, the prize, is the glory, fellowship with the Lord, over the momentary light affliction, is the way he put it. He participated by looking away and looking to Jesus. And that's the way we're to live. Now, when you practice this, you allow yourself to receive the full measure of what your faith is accomplishing, what Jesus is doing in you and through you. Can I get a good amen, church? Okay, let's go and let's look at Peter. Because it's a great example here. I want to share with you Matthew 14. I'm going to cover a couple of things with you before we get to Peter, because I cannot let this go by. Matthew 14, 22 through 27. Jesus had just fed the 5,000. There's 12 baskets left. And he gave the disciples direction. Have you received direction from the Lord? That's a very important question. Because all of us should have some direction from the Lord. Where are you going? What are you doing? What is the Lord doing? What is the Lord saying? What is the Lord wanting to do? To have a clue in order to follow your shepherd. Okay? He directed the disciples. He gave them direction to get in the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent away the crowds. And he does give direction. Now, our part, and it's very, very important because modern day Christians get off on this. It's very, very important that we fulfill the last directive that we get from Jesus before we seek another. Now, it's important for us to understand that while we're here, the enemy is alive and well on this earth. There'll come a day where he'll be bound up, but he's alive and well on this earth, and he will resist any direction Jesus gives you. We're to understand that and be mature enough to expect it. To fear it? No. We don't have to fear him. But to understand that there's always resistance to direction of Jesus in your life. And so have an understanding and don't be shocked and surprised when resistance shows up. Now, a lot of times what happens When attack comes or resistance comes, believers holler this: I want a new word from the Lord. I need a new word. This one's not fun anymore. I'm having a little trouble here, so I need a new word. And what they're saying is, I want an easier word. I want a direction without resistance. That's not even biblical. Hey, this is a part of the kingdom operation right now. And the Bible describes this. And our word from the Lord should be this: we're to carry on with the last directive until he gives us a new one. All right? So carry on with the last directive. Now, after he dismissed the multitudes, he went into the hills by himself to pray. By himself to pray. I know there's some people that don't pray unless there's other people around to hear it. Wow. Well, Jesus pointed that out. This is not fresh for me. Jesus pointed that out. But look at this. He went up into the hills by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was still there alone. Now, according to the Bible, and we're going to see in a few verses, that it was 3 a.m. when Jesus showed up at the disciples. It was before dark, the best I can figure with my CSI detective mindset. It was before dark that Jesus dismissed the crowds. And it was evening, and he went alone to spend time with Father. And it was 3 a.m. when he showed up with the disciples. And so it was most likely 6 to 8 hours that he spent with Father alone in prayer. So there's a good question here. What did Jesus have to pray about for 6 to 8 hours? I don't know if you've ever thought about this. I have. I'm going to share some thoughts, and these are Tim's thoughts because I can't prove this. But here's the deal. I don't believe that Jesus had a shopping list that lasted for 6 and 8 hours. That tends to be our number one priority. I've shared with you, and I covered it in a prayer series that I did about 2 years ago, but I really believe that the highest priority of our time in prayer with Father is love life with the Lord. Just loving on the Lord. And letting him love, be still long enough and knowing, recognizing that he's God and letting the Lord love on you. Now, if we would practice, and I'm telling you we can and we should, practice spending the majority, I'm going to say 85-90% of our prayer time just blessing and loving, thanksgiving, praise. Whoa, that fits into a good series. Thanksgiving, praise, and love life, loving on the Lord, and being still and letting the Lord love on us. I want to tell you, our journey would be completely different. The little things and the little imps or demons that tend to trip us up and put us aside, the little troubles, the little fears, the little afflictions that come to our body, and the little disturbance of people would be minor when we're walking in the love and the confidence of his love in our life. Now, so I really believe that this was love life with Father. Now, I'm just going to say this. There's no condemnation. I'm just trying to encourage you. Let's go for this. For the love factor. Because I want to tell you, the highest priority of the Father is to love on you. Fellowship with you. That's what you were designed for. Fellowship with you. Maybe we ought to get the servant mindset out of the way and get the son and daughter mindset in place and let Father love on us. And I want to tell you, Jesus did this. There's another scripture that points out. Jesus did this as was his manner of custom. You know what that means? In Texas language, he did it all the time. All right? Hey, if it was important for Jesus to practice love life time with Father, do you think there's a need for us to do that? Thank you for agreeing with me. All right, because I do 3. I do 2. All right, hey, It goes on, and I could deal with this. I don't really have time. I'll just kick this out for your future meditation enjoyment. Father came to fellowship with Adam and Eve in the evenings. He came to fellowship with them. And what do you think Adam and Eve had to pray about? Brother, there was no shop list. They were in Eden. I love your name. They were in Eden. Everything was provided. It was a perfect atmosphere. Okay? I want to tell you, everything was there that they could ever... I'm telling you, it was good. God did a great job on it. Only thing to compare to it is heaven. And I want to tell you, what did they have to pray about? Nothing. You know what it was? Their prayer time was love life with Father. I really think this is true. They would have the evening to spend time with Father, loving on them, and they were loving on the Lord. And this is enriching. And so if you need enriching, let this be on your mind. Amen. Verse 24. By the time Jesus got through with the love life with the Father, the boat by this time with the disciples was out on the sea many furlongs. Now, that means that it was probably at least a couple miles from shore. Okay? Distant from the land is the way it's put. And the boat was being tossed, beaten, and tossed by the waves, for the wind was against them. Now, I know in this fallen world, things happen. And sometimes I just believe it's fallen world. Sometimes I just really think it's humanity, maybe at its worst. Okay? But sometimes there's a spiritual force, without a doubt, behind the storm coming against your life. This was a storm of darkness that was coming against these disciples to destroy them. And it was a storm that was assigned against them. It was against them. Do you see that in verse 24? Now, this boat was far away, being attacked by the storm. I just got to ask you, what is your latest storm? You may be this morning coming back from a great victory over your latest storm, and you're celebrating the victory of the Lord. You may be here this morning. There's others that are here this morning that are in the middle of their storm. Okay, and they're being beaten against. It's against them, and it's coming against them. And a lot of times, just like this verse brings out, it may seem like that when attack comes, that Jesus is far away. You can't see him, you can't hear him, you can't feel him, and it seems like that you're on a sea out there and you're being beaten by a big storm much bigger than you, and Jesus is nowhere in sight. That's the way it seems. And I want to announce something to you that just because, and it says that they were beaten by the waves. And I want to tell you, being beaten by the waves means that they were being knocked around. Okay? They were being knocked around. And I've got to say this, just because you take blows in this journey, in your battles, just because you take blows does not mean you're whipped. That's very important to cover. Because a lot of times believers think that, well, if I got hit and I took a blow, or if I fell down, it means I'm whipped. No, you're not. You're not whipped till it's over. And I want to tell you, hey, the battle's not over till you win. Because Jesus wants to lead you into triumph. And so no matter how tired or weary you may be, don't stop. Okay? Because victory may be just a few moments away. Amen. Look at verse 25. And in the fourth watch, which means between 3 and 6 a.m., Jesus came to them walking on the sea. Now, oh, I love that. I want video. Wouldn't you like to have video of this? I love it. So, I want to encourage you with this. Jesus can show up and Jesus can manifest in your life even when you least expect it. Now, he definitely will show up when you expect it and when you're believing. But even when you're getting beaten, even when you're not believing, Jesus can show up when you least expect it. And let's be clear on this point. Even though it may seem like Jesus is way far away, he's always close. He's always close. And this is the truth that we need to comfort ourselves with, because he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And he comes to you in spite of the storm. I want to encourage you with this. He'll come to you in spite of your response. That's how good he is. That's the goodness of God. All right? Sometimes I get asked about a miracle when people are living an ungodly life. I'm amazed how Jesus will just love on them and do a miracle in their life. But I want to tell you, it's not because we earn it. Hey, it's not by works. It's unearned favor. And I want to tell you, the unearned favor that works for you, I want to make an announcement. It shows up in people that don't believe. That's how good God is. And I'm just going to explain it like this, because I had a pastor question me on it one time, because God did a miracle on a guy and he announced he didn't want Jesus. And, you know, I tried to lead him to the Lord. He didn't want Jesus. He said, but I got a physical problem. And he said, I need help with that. I prayed over him. The Lord healed him. And then I asked him after that, well, what do you think about Jesus now? He said, I want him. And so I said, go tell the pastor what happened. And he told the pastor comes to me, how do you explain this? I said, I can't explain it. I said, the only thing I can say is that the goodness of God draws people to repentance. And so I have no problem praying over the lost. You shouldn't either. Don't let that hesitate. And the Lord loves to manifest his goodness to us. And so this is what the Lord loves to do. And he will show up in our life in spite of a storm, in spite of our response, even in spite of our own stupidity. The Lord will show up to love on us and to be a present help in time of trouble. Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost! And they screamed out in fright. Now, I would love video on this too. Because the screaming out in fright by professional seamen and professional grown men here, and for them to scream, I want to tell you, it wasn't a, oh my, what is that? No, when the Bible says they screamed in fright, they screamed like a bunch of little schoolgirls. They were hollering, they were screaming, they were scared. Okay, do you see that? Put yourself there. And I want to encourage you with this. Sometimes when the Lord comes to rescue us, comes to minister to us, a lot of times people don't recognize. Sometimes we don't recognize. We're more aware of what's happening to us than who's coming to us. And you may be scared. There's people that's scared of God. I've got a man and his wife battling cancer, and I encouraged him to come to our church and let us pray for her. And he said, I'm scared of what might happen if I come. Man, what is there to be scared of? He said, well, I don't know if y'all may be one of them falling down churches. Man, I don't even know what you're talking about. But God doesn't have anything in store for you to be scared of. Okay? He wants to love on you and wants to help you. But see, you may be scared of an unknown or wrong expectation. What is God going to do? What will God require of me? What does God want from me? What is he going to do to me? Because there's a lot of people out there that have the mindset that I can't come to God because he'll whoop me bad. Well, you have a wrong mindset. And you may scream instead of praise at first. We get those sometimes. Look, you may be very, very full of past experience where that your inner cup is overflowing, not from the love of God, but from anger, from hurt, from wounding. And sometimes that cup just needs to be emptied. All right? I ministered to a pastor recently having family problems. And you know what? He talked for a while, and he emptied. And you know what? I didn't even have opportunity to speak. And that's okay. Because I want to tell you, one of the greatest priorities is to listen first. And he that answers the matter before he hears it, not wise. And so sometimes one of the best things you can do for folk is to listen. And this guy, this pastor, shared, and he kicked this stuff out. And then he said, oh, I got to go. And he said, Pastor, thank you for helping me. You've helped me so much. I'm so much better. And I'm going, wow. But sometimes it's very, very important to empty the junk. Hey, let me encourage you with this. The shepherd is always safe to empty the junk to. You can empty the junk to him. You can share that. It's best to go to him. He's not going to get offended. He loves you in spite of it. Okay? It's very, very important to empty. And so you be honest with us. We worship him in spirit and in truth, and honesty is a part of that. You get out there and get it out. If you have some fear, you better get it out to God. Okay? Bring it to the Lord and lay it at his feet. If you have lust problems, you better bring it to God. Okay? It's the safest place to go. And then let the Lord minister to you. Okay? And then he'll give you rest. He'll give you recovery. And so sometimes it's very, very important just to empty that stuff before him. But look what happens here. After they had screamed in fright, he instantly spoke to them. Now I want to tell you, he didn't punish them for not recognizing. He didn't punish them for claiming he was of darkness. That's what a ghost is. Okay, they misunderstood. He did not punish them, okay, by holding his back from them, even though they misunderstood. I want to tell you, there's a lot of people in this journey on this earth that misunderstand God. His heart's to love on them. Instantly, he spoke to them. You see that? Saying, take courage. Now, I've preached on this in the past. Let me tell you what the Greek brings out. Be of good cheer. Hey, cheer up. Be of good cheer. Okay? Comfort yourself with cheer is the way it's put. Comfort yourself with cheer. We attack fear with rejoicing and thanksgiving. Boy, it fits. But he says, take courage. Be of good cheer. I am. Now, I am is his name. And that says that he is everything that we need him to be. He is. All right? And he's present. Psalm 46:1, he's a very present help in time of trouble. He is present, and he's the I am everything you need. Wow. And he tells them, stop being afraid. All right? I love this. The I am is here. That's the way it's saying. The I am is here. Let me speak into your life right now. The I am is here. Listen. Okay? If you need to get stuff out, but listen, because he wants to speak. And when he speaks, always respond. And we encourage people that every time you hear from God, respond in some way. Either by giving thanks and celebrating the Lord, saying yes to the Lord, writing it down, telling someone else, do it. Respond in some way. Do not just leave it alone. Okay, you need to respond in some way, some measure. The worst thing you can do is to ignore it or not act on it in faith, some way. Appropriate your faith. Look at verse 28. Peter did this. He responded. With faith. Respond in faith. Peter did this. He answered him. He said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And I love his answer. It's real deep, theological, has a long explanation. He did this. And I have to say, I see him with a smile saying, come on. Come. Come on. Now, I say it that way because the Lord is saying that to a number of people. You're facing a storm and facing a situation. You've misunderstood God maybe about it in the past, and maybe you haven't understood why he didn't move. When you wanted them to, or the way you wanted them to. And the Lord is present, the I Am is present, and what He's saying to you is come. Come on. Come on. So listen. Listen to His voice. Come on. And so Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. Now let me explain to you what he was practicing that we've already covered. He looked away, didn't he? He looked away from the storm. He looked away from being beat up by the storm. He looked away from the winds. He looked away from the waves. And he looked to Jesus and he focused on Jesus, because the Bible says he came toward Jesus. He was looking away. Everybody say, look away and look to Jesus. Verse 30 says this. But when he perceived. Now that's a very, very important point. Because to perceive means he considered it. Okay? He considered it. Hey, the winds and the waves were always there. In this story, they were always there. But he walked on water when he did not think and perceive and consider the winds and the waves, but he considered Jesus. He looked away from the winds and waves and looked to Jesus, and he came toward Jesus. When he focused on Jesus, he lived the miraculous. When he started considering the winds and the waves, this is what happens. He thought about it, and then he felt it. Looked away. I love the order here. When he perceived, when he thought about it, and then he felt the strong wind. When he thought about the winds and the waves, he felt them. And after that, he was frightened. Now, I want to tell you, you may think I'm making too much of this. I don't think so, because this happens in our life on a daily and regular basis. What you think about, you feel. And what you feel bursts a response. Okay? Because it's magnified. Hey, first thing, he began to think about the winds and the waves. And then he felt the winds, feeling. He felt the winds and the waves. And then fear shows up. This ought to speak to us about fear. This ought to speak to us about fear this coming week. It's just like the enemy to bring fear against your life this week. Okay? So he was frightened, and then he began to sink. He began to sink because of what we've explained as the tug of war between doubt and faith. Doubt and faith. Let me make an announcement to you. He had enough faith to walk on water. He had enough faith to walk on water. He began to sink because he brought in doubt. And doubt creates a tug of war with faith. And when you're battling back and forth with doubt and faith, faith is not as strong, because faith, a doubt has a pull on your life. Wow. This is so good. And I'm not saying I'm good. I'm saying this message is good. He cried out, so he began to sink. The tug of war between doubt and faith was present. And he cried out, he began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me from death. Now, good news, that's always a good prayer to pray. Hey, when you need to pray that prayer, pray it. Okay, cry out for help. Hey, he's a present help in time of trouble. And remember, he's not going to whip you because you cried out for help. All right? He's excited about you. He wants to be a present help to you. Instantly, did Jesus have to consider it? Did he say, I'm going to let you sink for a while and just, you know, be a little punishment here? Huh? No. Instantly. And I'll tell you, that's Jesus' heart for you. He's reaching out to you. It's important that you reach back out to him. We're going to see this too. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and caught and held him. That's the Lord. Because he said that he promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And the description of that verse in the Greek, which it says this, and I'm going to do this with Justin. It says that he will not relax his hold on you. He will not relax his hold. That's the picture we see of Jesus with Peter right there. Now I want to tell you, Peter was just as safe yards from him as he was close to him. And this is something you need to understand. Jesus' protection for you and yours, Jesus' protection for you is not limited by distance. And no matter where you are. You say, well, I'm in church. Well, okay, great. Thank God you're in church. Well, I'm at home. Well, thank God you're at home. But I'm telling you, when you're out on the street and out on the highway, and when you're out in places where it doesn't look very safe, you're safer with Jesus than you would be at Fort Knox. Okay, this is for you too. And he said to them, oh, you have little faith. Now, hey, Jesus gave him enough faith to operate on, and he's given each one of us a measure of faith. But here was the problem. This is what he always pointed out. When he said to them, where's your faith? What's happened to your faith? He says, why did you doubt? You see, the problem was not faith, it was doubt. And it's the same with us. Saints, it's the same. Okay? He got out of the boat. He walked on water. But there was the tug of war with doubt. Okay? As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked on water. He gets his eyes off Jesus and he begins to listen to world wisdom. He sinks. Are we listening to the world, the waves, and the wind of the world? Or are we listening to his words? Mm-mm. Peter was living the miraculous as long as his eyes were on Jesus. And he was giving allegiance to his words. I want to rush to say this, and then I want to challenge you with something. Peter wasn't actually walking on water. He was walking on the words of Jesus. That's the same for us. Okay? When we walk on the words of Jesus, our feet are on the rock and on the Word. We walk in the miraculous. I want to point this out to you, and I can't prove this. I have to say this is Tim talk. But I tell you what, God's given us a gift of imagination for a reason, and I hope that in your imagination room you're seeing what's happening here. I just want to challenge you with something. What if Peter had continued to have his focus on Jesus? What if he had practiced what we showed right here this morning? To look away, look away, look away from the winds of this world. Look away from the waves of this world. And keep your focus on Jesus. Look away and look to Jesus. What if he had continued to practice that? There'd be a whole lot more to this story than what we read. You understand the opportunity was there? Jesus did not stop this part of the story. Peter did. All right? I want you to picture this. Peter keeps his eyes on Jesus. He gets out there with Jesus, and they're dancing on the waves. And they're celebrating the victory dance of the kingdom, overcoming the supernatural, overcoming the natural, the invisible becoming real. And I want to tell you, they're out there walking and dancing on the water and having a great time. Do you know how this affects people when you keep your eyes on Jesus and you walk in the victory of what God has provided on His words? You're walking on His words. You know how it affects other people? They want it too. And so I'm sharing with you. Peter out there dancing with Jesus on the water, having a great time. The next thing you hear, Jesus, can I come out? Come on. Because I want to tell you, that's what he's saying to you. He said, come on. And if he would have continued to keep his eyes on Jesus and walking on the words of Jesus, other people want in on it also. Because the Holy Spirit continues to whisper to us, what I've done for them, I'll do for you. What I've done for you, I'll do for them. You ever hear the whisper of that? And so I'm telling you, If it had continued, and if they would have continued, then instead of there being such an emphasis in our day of an individual receiving and walking with God, the emphasis would be for a group of disciples as one to receive and to walk with God. Well, that might have been a little too much for you. You understand that would affect church life. Hey, all of you out there walking on the water, dancing with Jesus on the water, pulling the boat into the shore, there would be so much more. But I want to tell you, that's what the questions coming from the Spirit this morning is, the much more. Because Jesus said, greater things, much more will you do. Why? Because of what He has won for us. Not because of us, simply because, like Peter, we practice the Word and look to Jesus and look away from the winds and the waves, and we walk on His Word, there will be much more. I really believe that Father's heart has designed that the most exciting days of the church was not at the birthing and at the beginning, but the most exciting days of the church would be at the end. To usher in the kingdom of God. Usher in the reign of Jesus on this earth. Well, apparently I've given you something to think about. Okay. The Lord loves to make this faith as a way of life. He loves to make it personal. Hear the voice of the Lord crying out to you, come on to the supernatural. Make faith as a way of life. He makes it personal. He wants a personal relationship journey with you. It involves love life. No matter how mature you are in the Lord or how many victories you've had in the Lord, all of us must practice looking away from the winds and waves of this world because they continually come. All of us have got to practice this principle of looking away and from everything that would distract and look to Jesus. Can I get a good amen, church? So here's a question. Are you sinking? Are you sinking? Are your problems overcoming you? Well, let me encourage you and give you a little direction. If your problems are overcoming you, you're not looking at Jesus. You're listening to what the doctor is saying over Jesus. You're stemming the winds and the waves. Maybe your banker, maybe the critics. If you're thinking on negative things, it's death to you. Okay? That's what Romans 8:6 says. If you're thinking on negative things, it's death to you. You're sinking from stinking thinking. I've been wanting to say that. Wow. It took me this long in the sermon to get to say that. Hey, that's what Romans 8:6 says. The normal human mind is death to you. When your mind is on the things of the Spirit, His life is to you. And so that's a very, very important point. If you're thinking on negative things, consuming your mind, you're sinking from stinking thinking. Well, Brother Tim, these negative things do exist. Yes, they do. I'm not saying they don't. But you don't have to be dominated by them. We're not supposed to be dominated by them. Because He calls us more than overcomers, more than conquerors. He paid the price for that. That's not abundant living, to be dominated by Him. So don't give them the position of honor. Honor the Word. Philippians 4:8, and I'll stop with this. For the rest, brethren, whatever's true, whatever's worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there's any virtue and excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, is the church listening? Think on and weigh and take account of these things. In other words, This is what you focus on. This is what you fix your mind on. Romans 8:6 says, this is spiritual things and this is life to you. The mind of the flesh, which is the sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, this is just the normal human mind, is death. And it creates a lot of misery. But the mind of the Spirit is life and soul peace. Do you get that?
Yeah.
Soul peace. And so that's very, very important. So we're to guard our heart and mind by thinking on these things. And this positions you, makes your heart good soil so that Colossians 2:7 can be a reality in your life. And I probably need to stop right there. And there are folk here today that would just be honest with the Lord and say, you know what? I've been distracted. And you know what? We understand that distraction comes. But you've been distracted by heartbreak or condemnation or fear or sickness. And you're not focusing and looking at Jesus. And this keeps you from receiving. Because whatever is on your mind multiplies. It's like a magnifying glass, and it makes it all the more bigger. And so I'm telling you, Jesus paid the price for us to get free from the junk. But I want to tell you, as much, man, this is a hard thing for me to say. I got to say it. As much as the Lord's desire is to prosper you, to bless you, to have good things lined out in your life, I've got to confess to you, there's a number of Christians that will never receive that. A number of them won't receive it because they're not willing to do this. They're not willing to practice and cooperate with the Lord in receiving a renewed mind by putting their minds on Him. But according to the Word of God, when you cooperate by using your chooser that God gave you and you put your mind on the Lord, you look away and look to Jesus. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit's able to do in and through your life to make this heart good soil so that you can be rooted in Christ. That's His desire. Those people that are willing to just cooperate and choose Him over the junk, esteem Him over the junk, look away and look to Him, then I want to tell you, they're able to receive all that God has. God, the Bible says in a number of different ways, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things. Somebody say all these things. I think He means all these things. They'll be added to you. Does it mean that you add them? No, he adds them. But that's our part. And that's something you can do today. It can start right now today. I want you to bow your head, close your eyes. Lord Jesus, we pray by Your Spirit, You cause this word to be very, very personal to us. Lord, show us in our own uniqueness how that You apply this principle to us. And so, Lord, we bless it right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just set this to order right now. And I pray in the name of Jesus that all those distractions be exposed for what they are. And I declare in Jesus' name that hope of the Lord rises up. And Lord, I pray that the eyes are open and the heart gate is open to see You and respond to You this morning. And Lord, we give You praise and we give You glory. Lord, bring honor and glory to Yourself through these precious ones and those listening in today. And we just give You thanks. Now,